thank the Lord for that. Good job, brother. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Acts chapter 8. Last night, we spoke about the Word of God and rightly dividing the truth, and we must have an understanding of the different words that the Bible speaks of. We spoke of the living Word, Jesus Christ. We spoke of the written Word and spoke of the preached Word. And I tried to make it clear, I don't know how well I did, but I tried to make it clear that this does not minimize our responsibility as God's people to go forth telling people about the Lord that we serve, doing the work of an evangelist. You know, Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of his ministry, and I believe that should be the responsibility or be the desire of every minister, but it also ought to be the desire of those of you out there to be ready to tell the Lord's people about the Lord that you serve. Be ready to tell those that you come in contact with about your Savior. And I'd like to go to Acts chapter 8 this morning, with the Lord being our helper. I ask that you would pray for me. Brother Ronald mentioned that the party broke up about 12 o'clock last night, and that was way past my bedtime, so I hope that you will be in prayer for me. We'll start reading Acts chapter 8 and verse 25. It says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31, and he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. It says verse 33, In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As I said yesterday, the book of Acts gives us a wonderful example of how we are to conduct ourselves at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was inspired by God. Luke wrote with perfect understanding by the inspiration of God, and I believe we have a wonderful pattern that we're to follow as the church. And what we have here in Acts chapter 8, we have a wonderful example of doing the work of an evangelist. I want you to keep in mind, as we mentioned yesterday, as the early church began, we see many miraculous things occurring, and we see things that we may not see today. An angel of the Lord more than likely will not come and speak to you and tell you to go here or go there, but I believe the Lord does bless us with open doors and doors of opportunity to share with other people what we believe. But I believe we have a wonderful example here of how we're to minister unto those that are searching for the truth. And I would like to look at this with the Lord being our helper, and I want us to look at a little bit about Philip and then look at a lot about this Ethiopian eunuch. First of all, by this point in time in the book of Acts, we see that the prophecy that was spoken by our Lord in Acts chapter 1 was coming to fruition. You see, the gospel was going to first be preached in Jerusalem and in Judea, and then it was going to spread to Samaria and then go out into the uttermost parts of the earth. Our Lord told those disciples that you shall be witnesses unto me. And we see that occurring. In Acts chapter 8, we see the gospel has gone out into the area of the Samaritans, and Jesus Christ was being preached unto them. They were having, if you will, a Pentecost of their own. The Lord was blessing the truth to go out. After the persecution began in Jerusalem and the disciples scattered about, they went into Samaria and the gospel was preached. I'm thankful for that example that they gave us. You know, after Stephen was stoned, that would have been an opportune time to throw in the towel. But they didn't throw in the towel. They went forth and continued to worship the Lord, continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see that there were many that believed on the name of Jesus Christ. Now we see the angel of the Lord comes unto Philip and tells him to leave this place. Tells him to leave this field of labor and go south, go unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, and go down into the desert. There's a lesson in that for us today. Sometimes the Lord will call us from one labor to another. You could be in a place as a minister and the Lord be blessing, but if the Lord tells you to go somewhere else, you better be ready to go. And we see Philip being obedient unto the Lord, and we see that he goes down. And I believe that Philip, as he was going down into Gaza, took that road which was less traveled. If you do a little bit of studying of the area, you'll see that there were two paths into Gaza. There was one path that was the main road. You know, during the Roman Empire, there were a lot of roads built for commerce and trade. But the angel of the Lord tells Philip to go the desert way, to go the more difficult way. Well, why did he do this? Because there was a man there that Philip was to meet, that Philip was to preach Jesus Christ unto them. So we see Philip is an example of a servant of God. He was obedient unto the call of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, if you will, to go down and go down the way that was more difficult, to take the road less traveled. We see that he did that, a wonderful example unto us. And then we see in verse 27 that as he went down that way, he met a man of Ethiopia. He met this eunuch that was of great authority. He was a man that had a high political office in Ethiopia. And we noticed that he came down to Jerusalem to worship. And he was sitting in his chariot, going back home, it appears, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And verse 29, we see that Philip finally understands what the Lord had him going down there for. So the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip went, and he saw that this man was reading the prophet Isaiah, and asked him, did he understand what he was reading? You know, that's what we need to be ready to do. As we see those out in the world that appear to be searching for the truth, appear to be searching for what's right, searching for answers to their spiritual questions, we need to be ready to help them. Ask them, do they understand? Philip was not obnoxious. Philip didn't beat him over the head with the Bible. He just asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I understand? How can I accept some man should guide me? And Philip did what we all ought to be ready to do, preach unto him Jesus Christ. You know, we don't, as Brother Lonnie said last night, we don't need the 12-step programs. We don't need the purpose-driven this, the purpose-driven that. We just need the God-driven Bible and instruct people when they are searching for the truth. You know, what I believe that God's people are searching for out there is the truth. And we need to be ready to boldly proclaim that word of God. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and he did not understand what he was reading. Well, Philip straightened him out real quick and said, this is Jesus Christ, and began to preach Jesus Christ as his Savior, the one who hung upon the cross and saved him from his sins. And we see this man rejoiced in that. But I want us to look for just a minute at the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, I like reading stories that provide different perspectives from different people. That's one of the important things when you're studying history, is to understand the perspective of the people that are involved. You know, if you're studying religious history, you need to understand the people that you're reading about. If you read from an author in this camp, he's going to have his own perspective. And you read an author from this other camp, they're going to have their own perspective. And even in primitive Baptist history, you read something from an absoluter writer, they're going to say, well, they've been the church since the time of John the Baptist. And you read somebody over here, it's an Arminian, they're going to believe they're the true church. You need to understand perspectives. Well, this Ethiopian eunuch, it's a very interesting thing to look at. He had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. Have you ever thought about that? Why did he go down to Jerusalem? Why did he do this? Well, first of all, I want to say unto you, but I believe that this Ethiopian eunuch had a work in his heart. Right. He had not heard the preached word. He had not seen the written word, but the living word. It was resting and abiding in his heart. And he was doing, with the best knowledge that he had, trying to go and worship the Lord. You know, I wonder, you go back to 1 Kings chapter 10, when the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon, and they had that exchange there, and she just exclaimed that the half wasn't even told to her. I wonder if that might be where the Ethiopian eunuch just got some inkling of Jerusalem as being a place to go and worship God. You know, we don't know for certain, but he had a desire to worship the Lord, and with the best knowledge that he had, he went down to Jerusalem. You know, he did not go there on a vacation. He did not go there on official business. The Bible said that he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He knew that there was a God that was greater than him, and he was trying to worship him to the best of his ability. You know, there's a lot of God's children out there in the world today. They're trying to worship God to the best of their ability. You know, I shudder at some of the teachings where people say that people that are in different religions aren't God's children. You know, I believe that God has the people even amongst those Muslim people, even as wicked as that religion is, I believe that there's God's people that are trying to worship him the best that they know how. But they need to hear about Jesus Christ. God has a people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. And this man went to Jerusalem to worship. Now think about this from his perspective. What did he find when he went down into Jerusalem? Apparently, he did not find any of the disciples that were worshiping early in the book of Acts, because he was returning home. So have you ever thought, you ever just speculated, well, what did he find there? Well, I wonder if he ran into some of the Pharisees and scribes that badgered our Savior as he went about his ministry. I wonder if he met some of those that were there that were consenting at the death of Stephen, those that were stoning him to death. Have you ever wondered about that? Well, apparently he did not find any answers to his questions in Jerusalem. He went to worship, and if he ran into those scribes and Pharisees, he probably came away quite disappointed. Here was a man that I believe had three strikes against him when he went into Jerusalem. First of all, he wasn't a Jew. He was not a Jew. He was from a different land. Second of all, he was a man of a different color. He was a black man, more than likely, and he was not a Jew. And then he was a eunuch. You know, in the Old Testament law, for someone to serve in the priesthood, they had to be whole. And he was a man that was marred as far as the ability to serve God in the eyes of those Pharisees. So he had three strikes against them. So they probably really turned their nose up at him when he went into Jerusalem seeking Jesus. I believe that there's a message for us in that today. When those come amongst us that look different than us, those that come amongst us that are from a different background, let's not turn them off. Let's not send them away disappointed. Those that are seeking the Lord, regardless of what they look like, regardless of the background that they come from, we need to be ready to preach the gospel unto them, to live an example of godliness before them. He came to Jerusalem to worship, and I believe that we can ascertain that he went away disappointed. You know, apparently while he was there, he did get a copy of the Old Testament to some degree. Maybe they just handed him a Bible and said, here you go. You know, we do that sometimes. We have someone comes up before us, makes us uncomfortable. We hand them a few pamphlets and just push them out the door. And they don't know what you've given them from Adam's house cat, but we think that we've helped them. Maybe they did that. Well, the example that we should follow is that of Philip. He preached unto him Jesus Christ. So this man, this black man, this Ethiopian, this eunuch goes into Jerusalem and he comes away disappointed. I just wonder what he must have fallen. I wonder how he was treated. Well, if we see how they treated our Savior and see how they treated those that believed in Jesus Christ, I guess we can assume that it was not very well. But Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch and begins to preach unto him Jesus. And I wondered, you know, he was in the book of Isaiah, and he was reading Isaiah chapter 53. He was in Isaiah chapter 53. We know that was speaking of our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He was the one that bore our griefs. He was the one that carried our sorrows. And aren't you thankful for that this morning, that your punishment was not doled out to you as it was justly deserve, but Jesus Christ took the punishment. He bore our sins. The Bible says, "He that knew no sin was made sin for us." We were nothing but sinners, but Jesus Christ, the one without sin, took our sins on the cross and shed his blood, laid down his life for us. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the Bible says, of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I believe as Philip preached unto him from Isaiah, that had to comfort his heart. You know, if he ran up with those Pharisees, they probably said, "You're not fit. You're not a fit subject to worship God. You're not worth anything at all." But Philip says, because of what Jesus Christ did, heaven is your home. That must have been good news for him. You know, I wonder if Philip preached unto him from Isaiah chapter 6 when God's glory was revealed unto Isaiah. And you know, Isaiah, all he could say is, "I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell amongst a land of unclean people." I wonder if he said that. But another scripture comes to mind. Isaiah chapter 56. We have a wonderful promise for the eunuchs of the world. You know, Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 3, it says, Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, "The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people." Neither let the eunuch say, "Behold, I am a dry tree." You know, quite possibly this eunuch came away from Jerusalem thinking he was nothing but a dead tree, that there was no hope for him, that there was no help from him, that he was just utterly separated from the Lord. You know, when we're convicted of our sins by the Spirit of God, we get in that condition. We see ourselves as nothing. We see ourselves as poor, weak, and worthless. Have you ever felt like a dry tree in your life? Just felt abandoned? Just felt that there was no hope? You know, this man probably felt despondent as he went to Jerusalem to worship and then headed back home. But notice what it says in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 56. "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off." Isn't that good news for dry trees today? Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? I believe as Philip preached unto this eunuch, he went away, Bible says he went away rejoicing. He preached unto him Jesus Christ, and we're all dry trees. The Bible says we're all together unprofitable. Paul tells the Roman brethren, "There are none that seeketh after God. There are none that doeth good. No, not one." That puts us all in that dry tree category. You know, we have all been marred by sin. We have all been, we bear but drag about these bodies of death. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're made whole by Him. A eunuch is a fit member for the kingdom of God because of what Jesus did. You know, this little black man that came to worship in Jerusalem found disappointment in that legalistic system that they had set up in that time, but he found a joy and a hope in Jesus Christ. Philip preached unto him Jesus. You know, it's a simple formula, you know, to tell people about what we believe. You know, you don't have to go into great depth. You don't have to go throughout the histories of the confession of faith. You just tell people about Jesus Christ. You tell people that they're a sinner and Jesus Christ is their Savior. You may relate your own spirit experience, how you were saved by the grace of God, and that makes the greatest impact. You know, people think, well, I must put on an intellectual front to be able to tell people about the truth, or I must be a great speaker, or I must be a dynamic, outgoing person. Well, the biblical pattern is just to tell people about Jesus. You know, that ought to be the goal of every preacher. You know, Paul was a one-text preacher. His desire was to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And, you know, every gospel sermon ought to point to Jesus Christ. You know, the Old Testament was written in a way that it pointed to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. The gospels were about the life and times of Jesus while He was in this world. And the New Testament instructs us as God's people how we're to serve Jesus Christ. You know, it's a simple pattern. It's all about Jesus Christ. You have problems in your life, personal problems, family problems, health problems. Jesus Christ is the answer. Here was a man, as far as material things, he probably had everything his heart desired, everything that you could get during those ancient times. He had charge of the queen's treasury. That was a high-paying position, I assume. He came to Jerusalem searching. He came to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home, and Philip comes unto him and preaches unto him Jesus. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, preached unto him Jesus Christ. This eunuch left Jerusalem. He was probably disappointed, but we see that as Philip preached unto him, he rejoiced. Here was a man that longed for the truth of God. And I'm thankful that we have a definite truth that teaches us about Jesus Christ. You know, I think about John chapter 6, and I want to say unto you again that this was a man that the Lord had opened his heart. This was a man that the Spirit of God had touched. And Jesus Christ gives us wonderful comfort as His people. You know, Jesus, John chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters in the gospel, Jesus speaking about Himself and He being the bread of life. You know, the Pharisees and so forth, they almost put Moses on the same plane as God. They had perverted the history of the Old Testament, and they thought that Moses was the one that gave them bread when they were out in the wilderness, but actually it was God that blessed. And Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, I am the bread of life, and him that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Here was a man in Acts chapter 8 that was hungering and thirsting after righteousness, yet he was filled as Philip was preaching Jesus Christ. I think of the Beatitudes. You know, they start out, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger, for they shall be filled. The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. What a blessing that is. Now, Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, that teaches us the basic doctrines of this Bible. It teaches the doctrine of election. All that the Father giveth to me, you know, talks about election, all that are God's. Bible says, shall come to me, irresistible grace. All those that are God's children shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We have preservation. You know, we're not going to do the job on our own, but by the grace of God, heaven is our home. We still sin. We still fall short of the glory of God. But by God's grace, we will enjoy heaven's immortal glory some sweet day. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Isn't that a blessing to think about? This eunuch was rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Philip preached unto him. Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. I believe that Philip preached unto him justification, how through the blood of Jesus Christ he would enjoy heaven's home. And I, you know, Romans chapter 5 comes to mind when we think about Think about the things of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "But God commandeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Now that's good news for us this morning. If you want to tell people about Jesus, you tell them what Jesus did for his people. He saved his people from their sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Through his blood, we're saved from wrath. That's amazing to think about. That's the good news that we need to tell those out in the world. And God's children, whatever color they are, whatever background they come from, we need to be ready to minister unto them in that truth. Philip preached unto him Jesus. As he preached unto him Jesus, Philip also preached the responsibility of being baptized. Do you know, as a child of God, if you've been touched by the Spirit of God, if you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been blessed to see that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, if you haven't already been baptized, you ought to do that. Here was a man that he had the truth presented unto him for the very first time. Jesus was preached unto him. And what happens? Verse 36, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, they were going a desert way, but there was water there. I believe that the Lord was blessing them during this occasion. There was certain water provided for them. Now, did the eunuch say, "Well, I'm going to wait and go back home and think this over for a few minutes, or I'm going to go and talk to my wife and talk to my family and see what they think," or they say, I'm just going to kind of see how things pan out with this truth? No. So he immediately was baptized. You know, many of God's people today, as we said the other day, that, you know, we're indifferent toward the truth. We're indifferent. But the Bible says that if we love the Lord, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, we ought to take up our cross and follow after him. And how do we do that? Through the waters of baptism. If you love the Lord, you ought to be baptized. You know, don't wait till tomorrow. Usually those that say, "Well, I'm going to just wait a little while becomes several weeks, and several weeks becomes several months, and then it becomes several years. We have a dear couple back home that had the privilege to baptize a couple of years ago in their mid-70s, but they had been attending church for probably 30 or 40 years, and they had done everything in the world. They had success as far as their careers, and there wasn't any satisfaction in that. They tried to find satisfaction in the entertainment of this world, in traveling and vacationing and doing this and doing that, but the brother told me after he was baptized, he said, "I should have done this 40 years ago, because this is the greatest peace and the greatest joy I've ever had in my life." There's joy in serving the Lord. When we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow after him, there's a blessing in that. There's a blessing that this world cannot offer. We can try to fill that void with the entertainment of this world, but it will never satisfy. This eunuch, he saw that there was water, and he was the one that initiated that. Preachers, wouldn't that be just make your day if someone would come up and say, "I want to be baptized"? Usually I have to coax and to convince and beg and plead, preaching from the pulpit, and even then it doesn't work a lot of the time. You know, congregation, if you love the Lord, you take the first step. Here it was, the eunuch, there was water. And he says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" That's the attitude that we need. If you've been blessed, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the background that you come from. If you've been blessed by the Spirit of God, if you've been blessed to be brought from a state of spiritual death into a state of spiritual life, go forward and serve him. Here it was, I said, according to the Jewish standard, he probably had 3 strikes against him. But here we see that he was a perfect candidate for baptism. He saw himself as he was, an exceeding sinner, and saw his need for a Savior, Jesus Christ, and he was baptized. Notice the requirements that Philip gives in verse 37. He says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Isn't that wonderful? You know, That's the requirement for baptism. If you believe with all your heart, you may. He believed. Verse 38, it says, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. Verse 39 says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? He came away from Jerusalem disappointed, but here he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from this little man Philip, and he was baptized, and he rejoiced in that truth. You know, we said yesterday that a lot of God's people are trying to manufacture the Spirit of God, trying to manufacture a happiness, trying to manufacture miracles today. Well, and obedience unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will bring a joy that none of the entertainment of this world can offer. It will bring peace during the darkest of times. You know, I think about church history of old and during the time that John wrote the book of Revelation. I believe those were dark days. People were losing their lives for the cause of Christ, but they were still rejoicing because Jesus Christ was on his throne, because he was ruling and he was reigning, and they knew that he was coming back someday. You know, we don't know what happened to this Ethiopian eunuch. I wonder about that from time to time. Did he go back home and tell others about Jesus Christ? And I just wonder what kind of impact he had as he went back home. But we do know that he went away rejoicing. I'm thankful for that. It doesn't matter rich or poor, black or white. Doesn't matter where you come from, who your parents were, what kind of background you have. As you obey the Lord and follow His commandments, go forward in gospel baptism and obey His commandments, there's rejoicing in that. You can have rejoicing in the midst of pain. You can have rejoicing in the midst of adversity. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is the giver of perfect joy. He is the giver of all good things. This eunuch was baptized, and it said the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. You know, we have two characters in this story. We have Philip. Philip was obedient unto the Lord to preach Jesus Christ, to tell those that were in front of him, those that he came into contact with about Jesus. Are you that way today? Or are you like I am from time to time, or many others are? Do you like to sidestep the subject? Do you take the opportunities that the Lord has put before you to tell others about the Savior you serve? You know, we can talk for hours on end about the football teams, about the Atlanta Braves or the Florida Gators, but why is it that oftentimes we try to sidestep the issues of the doctrines of grace? You know, we change the subject when religious topics are brought up at home. And I'm thankful for the Brother Lonnie's son that had the desire to stand up for the truth in our public school system. You know why prayer has been taken out of schools? You know why the Bible has been taken out of public office? Because we've allowed it to do so. I believe that God has blessed us with this nation. I believe that in His mercy He gave us this nation where we could worship His name without fear of persecution, without fear of losing our lives, and those liberties that have been taken away, it's because we have as God's people have not been diligent to exercise them. You know, I don't think that He's upholding this world because of the wicked. I think He's given us this nation and keeping us by His grace because He still has a people here. Amen. We need to be ready to boldly proclaim the Word of God. Tell people about Jesus. Are you like the Pharisees in Jerusalem that probably just sent him away miserable, tossed him the Old Testament and sent him on his way? Or are you like Philip? Are you ready to proclaim Jesus Christ to those that you come into contact with? And I believe that we have opportunities in our lives that are given. You know, Paul spoke about doors being opened unto him where he could preach the gospel. I believe the Lord still works in that way. No, He's not going to drop people into this church by throwing them in through the ceiling or kicking them in through the door. We need to be ready to tell people about the Lord we serve. Preach unto them Jesus Christ. Preach unto them the truth. Don't give them the politically correct gospel of the world today. Teach them the truth, but teach them in patience. Teach them in love. Be long-suffering towards them. Teach them their responsibilities to be baptized, and God will bless. That's a wonderful thing. We talked about the words last night. You know, we can bring this written word, preach the word, but the living word has to be in that heart. But the good news is, as the Lord works on the hearts of His people, there's a heart transplant that's done, and they have a heart that's able to receive and understand those things. Our responsibility is to teach God's children from this truth. Wherever they come from, whatever background they come from, we need to be diligent to proclaim it unto them. And those of you that are here today that haven't been baptized, haven't been obedient to this word of God, I encourage you to do so. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ submitted unto baptism. Have you ever thought about that? You know, you don't think you have any need for baptism, yet the Savior was baptized. Well, why was He baptized? In obedience, to fulfill the Scriptures. He came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist sort of rebuked Him about that. You don't have any need to be baptized of Me. But He was being obedient. Now, if the sinless, spotless Lamb of God saw the need to be baptized, how much more so you and I as filthy, vile, wretched sinners that's been saved because of Jesus Christ, how much more so should we be baptized? How much more so? We need to have that desire. That's important. And I believe that God will bless us in that. I believe that we will go away rejoicing when we're faithful to serve Him. I've enjoyed being with you this weekend, and this is my first visit, and I'm thankful for all of you. I pray the Lord would continue to bless.